Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, I want to be a good American, and I really want to cheer for Team USA.
It's hard.
All the Team USAs. Oh, my goodness. Sports used to be my break from politics
and
my break from everybody hating each other.
Yes.
I got to tell you, okay, soccer aside, this Megan Rapinoe just seems darn near insufferable.
Yes.
As a human being.
I have to agree with you.
No, I'm not talking about as an activist. I'm just as a human being. As in, if I was introduced to this person at a party after a couple minutes, I'm the one that's going, oh, hey, nice to meet you. I got to go talk to that person over there.
Yes.
But, oh, man. Okay, also.
But she wants to have an open conversation with anybody that's willing to talk to her. Well, I mean, except for if you don't agree with her.
Yeah. Right.
As
other
long
than
as you
that.
Agree with
yes.
Her.
She wants to have a productive conversation with people
so
who
nice
agree
to be open-minded.
With her.
That's
oh
how
my
that
goodness.
Works.
So here's the question I want to ask in a few minutes here. And so I guess get your thoughts ready. Get ready to give us a call. Should we just end this tradition of championship teams getting invited to the White House altogether? Is it time to just kind of be done with it? Because it's all
political. I think it would definitely
now.
Help eliminate the whole political aspect
right.
of sports. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Right. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll put up a Twitter poll or something like that. By the way,
Or do it individually.
Yeah.
Talk to the president. I'm sure if you win, you know, the Stanley Cup or whatever
go,
and you want to go, he'll let you... I'll let you come.
Right.
Sure.
By the way, I'm Mike Ferguson, in case you're wondering.
Hi,
who
Mike.
The heck
Good
is
morning,
that voice
Mike.
In Mark's spot? Mark will
Welcome.
Be back tomorrow. He has some very, very important business to attend to, so he's not in today, but he'll be
yes.
back tomorrow. okay, a little bit later on here today. I saw these headlines, and to my complete shock, the headlines that were posted were misleading in the media.
No.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay. So there's a candidate for governor, Republican candidate for governor in, I believe it's Mississippi. I think it's Mississippi. Let me double check here. Yes, Mississippi. The headlines say gubernatorial candidate denies access to female reporter because she's a woman. And I'm thinking, what year is this?
Yeah,
that can't
doesn't
be
sound right.
Right. Yeah, and so I just thinking, not that the media would ever lie to me, not that they would ever post a salacious headline as clickbait to get me to follow something, but I decided to double check it, and it's actually more of that Mike Pence rule kind of thing. The guy says, sure, the reporter can come along, but I'd prefer that she have a male colleague with her so that I'm not in a position at any point where I am alone with a woman who's not my wife.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's what it was all about. And so I want to go into more detail here in a few minutes on that and get everybody's thoughts on that, because on one hand, I get where he's coming from, especially in this, you know, hypercharged post-Me Too. Every kind of accusation can sink you just because there's an accusation. So you want to protect yourself. But at the same time, a male reporter would never have to worry about that.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't.
True.
Yeah.
So there is room for criticism, but I get where the guy's coming from. But then again, you hear, hey, if you want to lead a state, then you better be willing to meet with any constituent, mm-hmm. male or female. So there's a lot of fair points on both sides on this one. Except for the fact that the headlines and the way that it's being reported is completely dishonest.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. You really have to dig down and think critically and read in between the lines to go, no, wait a minute. This is not what they're saying. This isn't a misogyny type of thing. This isn't where he says, no, the woman should not be a reporter. She needs to be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. That's not what he was saying, as was kind of implied on that. Once again, I'm Mike Ferguson in for Mark Cox. Mark will be back tomorrow. Okay, Denise, you just said something off air that I want you to say on air. In just a second, which I think is interesting because this whole thing with Megan Rapinoe and the USA soccer team, I actually lost interest in them like really early in the tournament just because they're jerks. Not just her.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole team was acting like jerks. They beat the one, was it Thailand or whoever it was, Taiwan.
Oh, the 13 to nothing or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, 13 to nothing. It wasn't even so much that they just kicked their butt, but it was after the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth goal. They're still they're still doing the huge celebration and going to the crowd. And
well, so
and,
I remember after that happened, someone called in and was kind of defending some of the goals based like it was somebody's first goal, even though it was the 11th one of the game. And
right.
I would
you know, and someone got a
win.
Record, you know, their record, so many goal, but you know, and some of those things I would let slide.
Here's where I'm going with that is that I mean, I still play old guys baseball. You know, so I've been playing, as a matter of fact, I have a game tonight but to me, I don't like arrogance and jerks. It loses something game. I understand they're trying to market to an audience that is into that sort of thing. I lost interest in the NFL a few years ago when they made everything political. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, we're highlighting the guys who simply want to taunt and
you mean the ridiculous
the
like touchdown celebration when
right.
I mean you just basically did your job, right? That's what you get paid to do.
Right.
So why are we doing some weird funky dance and all of this when you basically just did what you were supposed to do?
And it's like you're watching pro wrestling, you expect Ric Flair to do the strut, you score a touchdown, you expect somebody to do the thing. It's part of the show. In baseball, I don't like the guys who hit a home run and then stare down the pitcher, throw up their hands, bat flip and then dance around. I don't like that.
Showboating.
Right.
I mean, I want Denise to start dancing and doing that after every newscast. Every time she reads the news, I want to like,
what's your signature move?
And that's how you do news.
That's right. It's attached to the monkey arm.
Yeah, don't drop my mic. I need it.
Okay, because you want to have the debate over the equal pay. Okay, that's fine. But here's the thing. Megan Rapinoe and some of the USA women's team, they're basically saying the country needs to, or our nonprofit, we need to get paid more. By the way, F you half the country with our politics, which is why I asked the question. And you can let me know what you think here. You know, give me a call at 314-241-9797. Maybe we should just end this tradition of inviting the teams to the White House. And it wasn't just, I mean, there were a couple of athletes, or there were some athletes who said they wouldn't go visit Barack Obama when he was president.
Yeah.
Well, that was stupid.
Yes.
It just was. Mm-hmm.
It's just an honor and a privilege,
right.
And that's the end.
I think there were a couple when George W. Bush was president, and I don't remember anybody saying they would not go meet with Bill Clinton. Certainly nobody would refuse an invitation from Ronald Reagan, and now everybody wants to refuse one from Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So yes, you're so brave. You're so woke doing what everybody else is doing at this point. If I were the president, I would just say, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
That's fine. You know what?
Eliminate this problem.
Yeah. It was at least a point where everybody could just have fun. It was a perk of being a champion. You give the president a jersey with his name on it and the year on the number on the jersey. To me, we're politicizing everything. I mean, yes, we're going to talk a lot of politics today. We'll go with them around. I want to know what you think because it is important. But if you live your life and you can't even take a break and watch a game without it being political.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's hard when the athletes are doing stuff like that.
Right, exactly.
Like, and if the president needs to stand up and be the grown-up in the room and say, all right, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, I'm done making the invites. Like, let's end this
for
tradition.
For me, they're losing a potential fan because I love sports, but I don't follow much soccer. But when I know that there's, like, a USA thing and there's something going on, I do. I pay attention and I want to watch. I had never watched a women's soccer game up until the World Cup started.
Yep.
And I actually took time in the middle of the afternoon to turn it on and watch. And now I'm like, why did I...
Won't do that again.
I might not do that again.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
I watched the game when Rapinoe wasn't playing.
I guess she...
there you go. There's the catch.
Yeah, the team...
And she's not the only problem, you know, but...
Yeah.
She's the loudest, though.
Right. I mean, the team just kind of made up their minds they were going to be the villains. You know, they were basically the equivalent of the heels in wrestling, that they were going to go do that. And they were good enough. I mean, they're good enough. They were able to dominate pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
So they were good enough to do it. I think they probably went into the tournament knowing that nobody really had a chance to beat them. So they had a choice. They could be the classy representatives of the country, or they could be the team that they are now. That was their choice. All right, let's go to who we got. Phil. Hey, Phil, you're up first on the FM News Talk 97.1. Did I press the button right?
I don't know.
Okay,
Team
Phil.
USA.
Phil, I pressed the wrong button. Start over for me.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
If you're playing for Team USA, I don't want to hear your politics.
Amen.
That's no different than me going to a woman's soccer game, any kind of sports game, and stand there in front of the camera holding up a Trump 2020 sign. I don't go to watch sports for politics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This whole thing with Megan Rapinoe, it's all about her. Mm-hmm. It's pretty obvious. You can tell that. It's all about her.
Yeah, Phil, I think that's a great point because there's a lot of people saying, oh, you don't like her because she's a strong woman or she's on the left or she's gay or whatever. I agree. I don't like her because she's arrogant and self-centered. And Denise, what you said just off air.
There's no way she represents everybody on that team. And if I were her teammate, I would be completely frustrated because I'm her teammate and we should be here talking about soccer and our accomplishments on the field and nothing else.
Yes.
And I also noticed, too, the other day, I think when they came back, their first little thing, maybe it was the ticker tape parade, I don't remember what it was, but I saw a clip on the news where they had a big banner up that said, one team, one nation. Well, is she not going against that completely every time she opens her mouth?
Pretty much.
So, just pretty much in my opinion, keep it out of sports. Unless you want us to all start showing up with Trump 2020 signs to your stupid soccer game.
All right, Phil, have a good morning. I appreciate it. Yeah, there was actually another clip of her yesterday. She was at some celebration, and she's holding the trophy. And her words were, I deserve this. Did you see that clip?
I saw that headline. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a quick like Twitter clip. It's like, you know, 15 seconds. It's I deserve this. I deserve this. And there's actually one of her teammates, to your point, Denise, in the background going, her facial expression was kind of like, okay, whatever you say.
And then she has to keep her mouth shut. Otherwise, the wrath.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm Mike Ferguson in for Mr. Mark Cox, who will be back tomorrow. Looking forward to more of your calls in just a minute. Welcome to the jungle.
Jim Carafano, how's it going, buddy? You doing all right?
Sometimes it feels like a jungle.
It does, doesn't it?
This week, this is a jungle feeling week.
you heard Elizabeth Warren there. I don't want to get too deep into that, but I'm just saying she's responding to a question about whether or not she's going to end the occupation of Israel in these Palestinian areas, and she answers affirmatively.
Well, you know, I've always said I do policy, not politics, so I'm not going to comment on what candidates say. But, you know, I have to do a thought exercise, which I magically create the Palestinian state. So as it is today, and what would it look like? It would be a friend of Iran, an enemy of Israel, a state sponsor of terrorism, a corrupt regime which oppresses its own people. It sounds a lot like Syria. And so literally, when people say that, I say, okay, so you want to create another Syria, so you're happy with Assad, right? That's kind of my response.
Yeah, it's true. In the middle of what's already a hot spot, you're just going to add to the troubles over there.
And the irony is there's not the Jordanians, the Egyptians, nobody in the region would agree with that statement.
Yes. No,
I with the Israelis.
I agree. I agree with you completely. You've got a piece on Fox that was published yesterday regarding this Defense Reauthorization Act or Authorization Act, and the fact that it, again, politics at play here, being tied up because of the priorities of the Progressive Caucus in the House.
So I wrote that. You know, I know Americans don't pay a lot of attention to this stuff. It's like, just wait till they finish making the sausage and put it on the grill.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think, and it might be worth reading because it's just worth kind of unpacking what's going on, right? This is not just, well, you know, politics as usual and everything else. The National Defense Authorization Act, we've done one every year for over 50 years. It's the one legislation where largely politics are put aside. Everybody comes together. They say, okay, here's defense policy for the year. This is the level of funding that we authorize. And what's happened is there's like 650 amendments, and it's kind of every crazy populist, you know, thing from, you know, I'm just making this up, like the troops wear pink hats. That's not true. That's not in there. But the crazy stuff like that. And they're just letting it all go to the floor. And what's very, very, the president's already said he's going to veto it. What's very, very likely is the House is going to, could produce a bill which is so unworkable that there's no way they could actually conference it with the Senate and pass a bill. To contrast this, in the Senate, the bill passed almost universal bipartisan support. And here we are in the most, you know, ugly times where everybody wants to, you know, impeach the president, but they can sit down and they can pass a bill with virtual bipartisan support in the Senate. But they've just lost, the House is completely out of order.
And in the House, they keep adding poison pills where instead of worrying about protecting the future of America, we're more worried about having the military fight climate change.
So they would actually say, well, you have to stop buying tanks because you need to invest in more solar panels, kind of stuff, really.
Or attach solar panels to the top of the tanks, because that's always a good idea, right?
Yeah, at least we can attack in daylight, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that where that goes. I mean, they're dragging this out, and what you've done here in this article, which is important for people, is just to point out some of the ridiculous reasons that they can't seem to find any common ground in the House on this.
Yeah, and this is just round one. Round two is how are we going to pay for defense, right? So people largely agree that the right number for where we are now is about $750 billion. Democrats say, okay, well, if you're going to give, you know, $750 billion to the military, then you have to give $700 billion to, you know, to other discretionary programs. Like, where does that logic come from? And, you know, and it's, we're already running a huge deficit. So you have to bribe, literally you have to bribe the Congress to spend money on defense, which is one of the most fundamental responsibilities of government. And I hear this thing about people say, oh, well, just don't waste any money and whatever. Well, do you think they haven't figured that out? Like, let's try to figure out ways to save money. Like the Army, for example, the Army needs to buy new equipment. They're gonna stop doing $30 billion worth of stuff so they can afford to buy more equipment. So they are trying to find ways to reasonably spend the money, that, you know, be good stewards of the money that Congress gives them. So what they want to do is they want to do a 2-year budget deal, which makes, you know, sense, get us, you know, beyond the election. But there's a lot of haggling going on. So literally, and we did this a lot under the Obama years. It's not like it's new news. What we're doing is we're holding defense hostage to playing politics. It's something we learned on the Obama years, and we just haven't stopped doing.
No, that's true. Quickly, Jim, I know that you've been an observer of all things political and in Washington over the years. I noted the passing of Ross Perot this morning and thought to myself, you know, if not for what he tried all those years ago, we might not have the Trump presidency today, with somebody kind of looking at things from the outside. Even though Donald Trump's a Republican, in many ways he's the, you know, anti two-party candidate.
Right, and the thing I always remember about Ross Perot was when his people were taken hostage in Iran, he paid to have somebody go in and rescue his people.
Right,
and he was a great supporter over the years for the military and our veterans. So he really was in many ways, an American patriot. Stood up for what he believed in, you know, put his money where his mouth is, made a fortune, and then tried to use that fortune to make America a better place. And most importantly, he was never embarrassed to be an American. He was never ashamed to be patriotic. He was never ashamed of the American flag. And for so many of those reasons, I think he is somebody all of us should, and, you know, was a self-made man in many ways.
Yeah.
Somebody we should all, that's a life worth remembering. That's a biography your children should read.
That Iran story is one many people aren't aware of either. But listen, Jim, I know you got to get off here. It's great talking to you, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, my friend.
Appreciate it. Jim Carafano, JJ Carafano, heritage.org, at JJ Carafano on Twitter, and his piece is up on the Fox regarding this defense bill. If you want to kind of get an idea of the kind of political games they're playing with our military, I would encourage you to go there and read that article.
Okay, so I just set up a poll on my Twitter page, or my Twitter account, at M Ferguson Media.
I'm going to retweet it.
Retweet it. And vote in the poll. It's Mike's Pointless Poll of the Week. It absolutely changes nothing, but it's just kind of an interesting question I hear, or a question I come across, and that is, should we end the tradition of inviting sports champions to the White House? It's all political anyway, or should the athletes get over it, grow up, and be honored when the president of the United States, regardless of who the president of the United States is, gets invited to the White House. I'm Mike Ferguson, in for Mark Cox, by the way. So yeah, so that poll's going to go for, it's going to go until tomorrow evening.
Perfect.
So, but I'll kind of update as people vote. So go to M Ferguson Media, or you can just go to FM News Talk 97.1, where it's just been retweeted, and let me know what you think there. Vote, comment, all that good stuff. This story out of Mississippi, I think this, I really want to know what everybody thinks about this. So 314-241-9797. State Representative Robert Foster is a Republican, and he wants to be the governor of Mississippi. And so he's campaigning down there, and a female reporter says, you know what, I want to do a ride-along. I want to basically shadow you. And it was, for the better part of it, it was like 14, 15 hours. So she just wants to kind of be embedded with the campaign. And there is nothing unusual about that. That happens mm-hmm. all the time. And he says, okay, yeah, let's get one of your male colleagues to go along with you. You guys in bed, come on in. And she says, wait a minute, whoa. I am perfectly capable of doing this job. I am a professional reporter.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm putting a bunch of words in her mouth, but you know, this is what we're talking about here. And, he says, well, no, I have this agreement with my wife, and I just think it's important that I not be in a position to where I am potentially alone with a woman who's not my wife. That's what I've always done in business. It just basically protects him from any scrutiny. So if you're a religious person, if you're a Christian, it would be the above reproach look at the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that, because you can get accused of anything. And if it's he said, she said, matter of fact, he says, I wanted to avoid a he said versus she said situation. And of course, the reporter basically tweets out, he's denying me access to cover his campaign because I'm a woman. And that's the headline that got posted everywhere last night and yesterday afternoon. And I saw that and I'm thinking, even in Mississippi, I don't think that somebody's that dumb to do that. Maybe, I don't know, but I doubt it. So I did something a little bit different than what a lot of people do on Twitter, is I read the article.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What?
I know.
Slow down.
I'm a weirdo like that. It comes out to what some people call the Billy Graham rule, what some people call the Mike Pence rule. And that's what he's saying. I'm just doing this to protect myself. I'm doing this out of respect for my wife. The pushback here is, wait a minute, if you want to be governor of the state of Mississippi, or any governor of any state, then you represent everybody. You better be willing to meet with anybody. If your Secretary of Labor is a female, if you're in our state here, the Secretary of Agriculture or Director of the Agriculture Department is female, are you not going to meet with that person in private because you have business to talk about? If it were a male reporter, by the state representative's own words, if it were a male reporter who says, okay, I want to embed with you for 15 hours or whatever, apparently that would have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I get the female reporter's complaint. It's 2019. However, we're living in a world where a simple accusation, particularly against a Republican, gets covered, gets misrepresented. That can sink your career, whether you've done anything wrong or not. And that's just the fact. So was this candidate, State Representative Robert Foster, is he right in saying, you know what, bring a male colleague along or have somebody else cover it because I don't want to take the chance of being alone with a woman. There are times when my campaign staff has to go do setup. My campaign manager's not there. I just want somebody there to witness at all times.
I see both sides.
Perspectives. Yes, I do too.
It's like, I get where he's coming from. And like, I initially, if I were her, and I think I'm probably still on her side. If I were her, I'd be like, this is offensive. If it's you don't want to be alone with a person because you don't want allegations, I don't think it should be a man-woman thing. You could have like a buddy system.
There should always be somebody else in your
third person. Yes, even because a male reporter could be alone with him and say, he grabbed my knee, like you know,
else.
And the same thing could apply.
Absolutely.
But we've created a culture where accusations hold more than truth sometimes,
right.
And they do tank careers and land people in.
But I do think that's probably the safer way to go, though. Like, if that's going to be your policy, it needs to be like the policy with both sexes.
Yep.
And move forward
regardless
with that.
Of gender.
Yes.
Just
yes.
Here's his quote that he said in a radio interview in Mississippi. In our case, it was a female reporter asking to ride along, and my campaign director is in and out and gone sometimes. It's just going to be a lot of opportunities for an awkward situation I didn't want to put myself in. We just wanted to keep things professional. There's only one person that comes to mind more than anyone, and that's my wife. I've always had the same practice in business. I'm not alone with a female employee and put myself in a situation to have a he said, she said moment, Foster said. You all are right, but I get where he's coming from.
I do too, but
I totally get it.
But change with the times a little bit and just say, I wouldn't
take
a male
reporter.
You
know what, a man can say that about me too.
Yep.
So, or can put me in an awkward situation or can make a claim against me.
So I never let one person come with me.
I'm reading the USA Today article on this. And one of the lines jumped out at me when it's explaining that Billy Graham kind of made this rule famous and then Mike Pence. It says, the practice is reportedly common among many evangelicals. The practice is actually common among men who don't want to get sued for something.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I
don't think of it as a religious thing. I think of it as I'm covering my behind kind of thing so that no one can drag me through the mud and put me through hell.
Yep. Right.
Exactly.
And that's all it takes is that accusation. And the fact of the matter is this looks like a pretty conservative guy. I don't really know much about him, but he is obviously smart enough to know that that kind of accusation is going to hammer a Republican candidate where it's not necessarily going to hammer his opponents.
And I think you just change with the times and play the game, like work within it and say, guys can't come along solo either.
Keep a body man on, I guess, to your point, Denise, and make sure you're always being watched. All right, what do you think? 314-241-9797. Still ahead next hour, Todd Starnes from Fox News Radio.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.